This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Cases of the pandemic coronavirus in the U.S. as of this hour, 350,000 internationally. We're up 2,473 deaths. That's up 56 in the last 24 hours. Those numbers are alarming from the sense of how quickly this has happened, but not alarming when you compare them to other things that happened. And if you had, you know, a list of, okay, influenza, car crashes, other things, you certainly would see a little bit of perspective there. The difference is the spread, the difference that we've seen in other countries, the spike in the healthcare system overwhelming it. That's why we are where we are. We at What's On Your Mind are dedicated to getting you the answers you need today. We're going to take a lot of time to talk with guests on a number of different fronts, on the local and regional front, also nationwide. So, a busy program. We start with the Lieutenant Governor of the great state of North Dakota, Brent Sanford, for an update on the latest in North Dakota. Brent, thanks for joining us. Daniel, I don't hear Brent.
Not my favorite way to start the program, but let's see here. Brent, can you hear me? Anybody hearing Brent?
I am not.
Brent, are you there?
Can you hear me?
No,
there we go.
Yeah. All right. Got to push a few buttons to start the show here. We're rolling. Thanks for joining us. We appreciate it.
All right. Thank you very much.
So what's top of mind for you right now today as you start a new week of the North Dakota response to this international pandemic? What's the top of your mind?
Well, we're trying to get as much data as possible. You heard the governor yesterday, I'm assuming, at the press conference, up to 30 positive tests now. We have, I believe, four hospitalizations. And we're just, you know, we're looking at the states around us. We're looking at trends. We're looking at what point can you expect to see some flattening of the curve. And that's the main thing. I mean, We have been hearing the advice from those that have been impacted that as soon as you put an emergency measure in place, if you feel like you did it a little bit too soon, you might have done it at the right time. If you feel like you did it a little bit late, you're way late because it's like a 10-day lag on when the people have the virus and are spreading the virus before they come in and get tested in general. So you're looking in the rearview mirror on data at all times, but we're getting a lot of feedback from local jurisdictions and businesses, and the attitude is pretty good. People are all concerned. People are concerned about, how close do we get to that shelter in place type order that you see in the areas like the Bay Area and New York City and areas that are really impacted in that. You know, like we always say, in that Italy-type impact. But we're not there. But there's a lot of self-compliance going on. It's pretty quiet in the streets in Bismarck, actually. And a lot of concern out there. And, you know, the schools are moving forward with online alternative delivery, I should say. The universities pretty much are not seeming to be coming back from spring break, so... You know, there's a cadence of how do we deliver education for the rest of the school year. But, you know, the longer this goes on, there'll be stress for unemployment claims and from small businesses, and we know that. I'm receiving a lot of reports from larger businesses, utility companies, et cetera, that have their own pandemic plans in place. And so they're taking those off the shelf. A lot of companies have done this in 2015 and such. After SARS and some of these other acute respiratory diseases were coming, you know, into the realm of possibility. And there's a lot of coordination happening in the governor's office and trying to get the most recent information that we can and make sure that we're doing as much as we can. We're getting into the specifics of I believe, a conversation happening today, another one on daycare strategy of making sure there's daycare for essential workers in some sort, some fashion, some way. But you are seeing large daycares closing down on their own. So it's something where people do then ask for some guidance from the governor's office to be, have uniformity across the state, some direction.
I want to talk about the unemployment numbers in a second here, but you know, I think some people are seeing a decrease in the amount of daily increases in the cases in North Dakota and saying, have we peaked? Do you think we've peaked?
Well, that's hard to say because we've only been getting tests in for like a week, you know, or less. And so if you look at the other states, that's not quite the curve that's taken. And you, in the flattened curve is still a straight up curve as you account for those 10 days of spread and for the days before you put in social distancing. The social distancing measures only happened on Thursday. So if you listen to the governor's, you know, early, the early part of his 4 o'clock press conference is talking about, we know there's more cases out there. In fact, we, the pending cases are a big issue. If you're looking at like, COVID tracking or Bing website, one of those that are trying to track the entire state or the entire country, pending testing is not really in the numerator or denominator on those tests. And so you can't even get a good feel actually for, you know, number of tests per positive test per test and
per number
of tests because of that. Because the pending, it turns out we have 300 tests pending in our state too. Out of the Cass Clay area, you know, from the hospitals in Fargo. So those were, what they were saying is they sent the ones that seemed more, more concerning into the state lab and the ones more routine. If, I don't know how routine they would be because you have to be presenting symptoms and have traveled, et cetera, to have received a test earlier last week. But those 300 tests will be waiting for those results to come in. Early part of this week as well.
So let's talk a little bit about the unemployment situation. The 80 claims a day prior to this crisis was about average in North Dakota, and that has gone up to the point now about 1,800, 1,900 this week, and 5,500 in the last 5 days. How much of that is related to the coronavirus situation and businesses, you know, having to shut down or whatever, and how much is related to the crisis within the crisis from the oil industry and the share war that's going on?
I believe the governor's comment on that on Thursday was that it almost entirely oil related, and so yes, we have these the oil price collapse. I guess the first demand shock on us was because of the demand falling off from COVID virus worldwide. But then when Vladimir Putin and Saudi Arabia decided that they weren't going to agree on who was reducing production, then that pushed the price shock down even further. So this feels a lot like November of 2014 to me, Scott. And we know what happens. The drilling slows down. And the completion slows down. You still have to pump the oil for the wells that have been completed, the 13,000 wells, et cetera, that have been completed. You still have to process the gas. You still have to, you know, it's a critical infrastructure, essential service to get the oil and gas moving to where it's got to go every day. But when that drilling activity slows down to a grinding halt, there's a lot of employees affected. There were trucking layoffs last week. You're going to see you know, when you go from, we don't know what our rig count's going to go to, but one large operator went from 6 to 1. So if we don't know what the rig count's going to be in the next month, I guess it would depend on what OPEC Plus decides to do, if they settle their squabble or not. But if the price stays in the 20s, we're not going to see 50 drilling rigs. It'll go down, you know, somewhere in the 40s, 30s, hopefully not less than that. But what we saw in 2015 was in the 20s for active drilling rigs. So yes, we've got a couple things happening at once here. But this first wave of unemployment claims was from the West. But we're you know, fully aware that with the social distancing measures that were put in place last week, you're going to see a lot of employees in the hospitality and restaurant, bar, et cetera, businesses, which, you know, there are over 100,000 identified in the unemployment and job service databases of folks that may have been affected. And some businesses will be able to pivot and do online ordering and delivery and takeout, et cetera, but a lot will not. And so we expect to start seeing unemployment claims from the hourly employees that are dealing with those restrictions on the businesses they work in. And that won't be, I would assume at the end of the month here, it's not going to be a long lag time from those claims to start coming in. So there's preparation happening for a second wave, if you will, of concern from the government side, from preparation needs to happen.
So going forward, the impact on the state budget is going to be obviously significant, depending on how long that lasts. Look forward to that conversation next time we get a chance to chat. Wanted everybody to get a little overview on the weekend and what happened and where we're at going into the new week. Brent, thanks for the time.
Thanks, Scott. Appreciate it.
Our Lieutenant Governor Brent Sanford on What's on Your Mind. When we come back, the latest on this Phase 3 relief package from Senator John Hoeven. Don't go away.
Since Precision Concrete Cutters and Ramjack North have joined forces, we've been providing you with top-notch foundation repair solutions. Call 701-280-7038 and ask about our winter discount, or go online to pccnd.com.
Help preserve your wealth. Successful investing requires more than just selecting the right stocks or bonds. It also requires avoiding big mistakes that can harm your financial future. Call Collins & Kronk to get your free no-obligation report, The 8 Great Financial Mistakes and How to Avoid Them. Let the advisors at Collins & Kronk explain some common pitfalls investors make, and more importantly, how to avoid them. Steering clear of any of these key mistakes could greatly improve your ability to reach your investing goals. Given the current news and the uncertainty in the financial markets, you may wonder how you'll keep your own portfolio on track to help meet your financial goals. Get the free, no-obligation report, The 8 Great Financial Mistakes and How to Avoid Them. Call the advisors at Collins & Kronk today and ask for the report. Collins & Kronk, 701-235-0119. 701-235-0119. Collins & Kronk is not a registered broker-dealer and is independent of Raymond James Financial Services. Securities offered through Raymond James Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advisory services offered through Raymond James Financial Services, Inc., located 300 NP Avenue, Fargo, Suite 108.
North Dakota is building stronger communities by uniting landowners and county officials and supporting more wind power for the prairie. 29 counties are seeing wind energy enhance their schools, roads, and emergency response teams. Landowners support harnessing wind to provide consistent income for 25 years. Together, we can build a better tomorrow with good jobs and stronger communities and keep our electricity rates among the lowest in the country. Paid for by North Dakotans for comprehensive energy solutions.
Since Precision Concrete Cutters and Ramjack North have joined forces, we've been providing you with top-notch foundation repair solutions. Call 701-280-7038 and ask about our winter discount, or go online to pccnd.com.
Both my legs were amputated due to an IED. It's when you start to try to get back into, like, an everyday life. I absolutely felt like I lost some of my purpose. There must be something more. When DAV came into my life, they gave me a new mission. I could still be a productive member of society, could still support a family.
The DAV gave him that sense of structure and purpose again to get his life back together.
Visit DAV.org to learn more about our mission.
Do you feel like many of us? All the distractions in the world taking our minds and focus off what really needs to get done day to day? Well, Jeunesse has a dietary supplement called Mind to help with mental distraction, and it supports memory function. Go to GCNLife.com now to check it out. You're only at your best when your mind is at its best. Go to GCNLife.com or call toll free 844-443-6637. That's GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
I meet my buddies out on the lake. We're headed out to a special place we love. And just a few folks know. There's no sign.
What's on your mind? Brought to you in part today by the University of Mary. Take the first steps towards a fresh start this spring by enrolling in an undergraduate, graduate, or certificate program. This is exactly the kind of thing when your life's disrupted and you're trying to understand, where do I put my energies, what should I do, that you got to think about. You know, because you don't have to worry about social distancing. You can take it online if you want. And if, you know, things change, then obviously you can do it in person as well. Maybe you study better, whatever works best for you. And it's affordable. You enhance your skills and advance your career. Mary values your prior education and life experiences. Contact them today or learn how your past experience can count for credit, too. Classes start May 4th, and they will start May 4th. Online.umary.edu/discover more. Remember to tell them you heard it on What's on Your Mind, and your application fee is waived. umary.edu, 701-355-8030. Mitch McConnell, the Senate Majority Leader, is a pretty mild-mannered guy. In fact, most times you listen to him, you probably want to fall asleep. But he was hot last night over a deal being cut to get relief to the American people in the middle of this crisis, to get businesses an opportunity to keep their people, connect worker and workforce, you know, workforce and the employer. And a deal was done. They were ready to vote on it. By the way, the vote was just to vote. The vote wasn't even on the package. The vote was just to say, should we vote or not? Democrats couldn't even manage to say yes to that. And here's what Mitch McConnell's response was.
I want to explain what just happened. Our good friends on the other side would not have been disadvantaged one bit if this vote had succeeded, because it would have required potentially 30 more hours of discussion. Look, I can understand obstruction when you're trying to achieve something. This obstruction achieves nothing. Nothing whatsoever. So we had a high level of bipartisanship in five different working groups over the last 48 hours, where members who were participating were reaching agreement. And then all of a sudden, the Democratic leader and the Speaker of the House shows up. And we're back to square one.
Yeah. That's what happened, folks. It's an important point that's getting lost in a lot of this. I think a lot of people think that vote was the vote on the package. It wasn't. That vote was this typical Senate rules where you vote to go to a vote. 30 more hours of debate would have followed that. So they could have voted for this to go to the vote, then debate for 30 hours, negotiate for 30 hours. Your business hangs in the balance because Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer are more worried about Donald Trump being reelected. Partisan drivel. They're dishonest. You don't negotiate, get a deal, and then say, I want to negotiate some more. All right, enough being mad for a few seconds anyway. Let's go to the White House briefing room when another of the frustrations Mitch McConnell has is that five senators are right now in isolation because of exposure to the China virus. And the president, obviously not following every bit of that, was asked about it and had an interesting response. Listen to this.
With the critical stimulus package vote expected.
Romney's in isolation?
Yes. Yeah.
Gee, that's too bad. Go ahead.
Does that sarcasm there?
No.
Sir?
No, none whatsoever.
No, none whatsoever. Yeah.
Romney?
Yeah, you missed the whole clip. But basically what a reporter said was, X amount of senators are in isolation. He said, who's in isolation? And they went through the list. And then you heard the president say, Romney's in isolation? Gee, too bad. And then the reporter says, do I detect a little sarcasm? No, none.
No.
No.
China.
Play that one more time. So, again,
Romney's in isolation?
Yes.
Yeah. Gee, that's too bad. Go ahead.
Does that sarcasm there?
No.
Sir?
No. No whatsoever.
You know, the one thing you cannot say about Donald Trump is that he hides anything.
No.
100% transparency. 100% transparency. And by the way, I don't doubt the president was not being mean there. The president was being funny. It was his attempt at a little humor.
He lives in sarcasm land, much like I do.
Now,
if
you hate Donald Trump, you hear that and it makes you crazy. If you have Trump derangement syndrome, you hear something like that. Can you believe? I had people this weekend on Facebook that are just dear, sweet, wonderful people having a fit over that exchange that he had with Peter Alexander from NBC News. Now, do we have that whole thing? the whole thing, not the, you know, everybody edited it. And they would edit it to just show you the part, play you the part, where Peter from NBC News says, what do you say to people that are, they're afraid, they're scared, they would, and he said, I'd tell him you're a terrible reporter. Now, if you hear only that piece, you think, what in the world? This reporter's asking a basic, simple question of, you know, what do you tell people who are afraid? And the president comes back with this snarky response. But, as usual, you didn't get the whole story. You didn't get the stuff earlier where he was mocking the president for being optimistic about a therapy that has been used successfully in other countries. It's a malaria drug. Malaria has been around since we sent people to Vietnam, right? They'd come back with malaria. You'd give them this drug, and you'd save their life. Evidently, they found in a number of trials and in other places around the country that if you use this when somebody has coronavirus, that they are cured. So his point was, what do you got to lose? If somebody is you know, to the point of needing a ventilator and is suffering on this, why wouldn't we give him that? What have you got to lose? Right? But all weekend long, that was out there, acting as if you're totally misreported, everything else. So the president was back on that, and this guy was just, it was 100% planned. 100% planned. Did you find that, Kev? I have it here somewhere if you want me to find it. We're waiting for Senator Hoban. He's not called yet, and I'm guessing that he is unavoidably detained. So go ahead and play that, Kev.
The exchange?
Yeah.
Okay, here we go.
You say the Americans were scared, though. I guess nearly 200 dead, 14,000 who were sick, millions, as you witnessed, who are scared right now. What do you say to Americans who are watching you right now who are scared?
I say that you're a terrible reporter.
Okay, so now that what Kevin just did there was exactly what the mainstream media did. They played gotcha. That wasn't the full exchange. That was the follow-on question. And again, I believe this guy was 100% doing what he intended to do. He asked one question. And let me ask you this. If you're sitting at home, tuned in to the briefing, trying to find out what's going on a China, you know, virus, you don't know if your job's going to be there or not, and the president's saying, I'm optimistic that this might work, and this jerk reporter is saying, are you being too optimistic about this? Do you want that reporter asking that question on your behalf? Of course you don't. This is stupid.
Good point.
Move on. But he knew what he was doing, folks, and it sucked a lot of people in.
This is Vince from Hot Spring Spas and Pool Tables 2. Coronavirus, it's all anybody's talking about, and I want to talk about it. In 400 BC, Hippocrates said, give me the ability to induce a fever, I can cure any illness. Well, that is what you're doing each and every time you sit in a sauna. You're inducing a fever, which your body reacts by sweating the bad stuff out. It is my belief and opinion you cannot get sick if you sit in a sauna every day. What if what I say about a sauna is true? Sit in it every day, you will not get sick because you're inducing a fever, which your body reacts by sweating out the bad. What if that is true? Are you willing to take a chance and not have one? Because there's still a lot of great sauna benefits that we talk about every day. Call us. We have a virtual showroom. We'll walk you through the different models and all the options that are available and discuss how we can get this to your home without you leaving. We believe we can help you. Hot Spring Spas and Pool Tables 2, Fargo, Grand Forks, Bismarck. Online at Hot Spring Spas and Pool Tables 2.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
After Democrats in the U.S. Senate prevent a procedural vote on a trillion-dollar economic stimulus package in response to the coronavirus, the top Republican, Mitch McConnell, says,
this is, Mr. President, a national emergency, not a partisan opportunity.
Democrats claim too much of the money in the bill would be going to big corporations and not enough to American workers.
Large corporate bailout
with no protections for workers and virtually no oversight.
That's the Senate Democratic leader Chuck Schumer. Several senators are unavailable to debate or vote on the measure because of the virus. Both U.S. senators from Utah, Mitt Romney and Mike Lee, say they recently had contact with Kentucky Republican Senator Rand Paul, who has tested positive for COVID-19, so Lee and Romney are now self-quarantining. And this is USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Wayne Allyn Root, Mr. Health, and I want all of my millions of fans to be healthy and live a long life so we can save America, American exceptionalism, and capitalism. So, are you in front of a mirror? Did you know that in 1973, a Harvard doctor discovered the greatest single risk factor indicator for heart disease is a crease in one or both earlobes? Strauss Heart Drops has sold more than 1 million bottles over the past 40 years, helping countless people with cholesterol, diabetes, angina, and blocked or restricted blood flow. The best proven indicator of clogged arteries is the earlobe crease. Nature's sign of trouble with plaque buildup. Do you have a crease in one or both earlobes? Heart attack and stroke are our number one killers. Women now suffer 51% of heart attacks. Strauss Heart Drops don't interfere with any prescription drugs. Strauss Naturals guarantees your satisfaction so you can't go wrong. It's the painless, natural, economical way to clear arteries, vessels, veins, and capillaries. And guess who has the crease in both ears? Yours truly. And guess who's now taking Strauss Heart Drops? Wayne Allyn Root. Order Strauss Heart Drops at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Thepowermall.com.
A beauty from South Alabama. Her daddy had a heart like a 9-pound hammer. Think he even
we
did
had
a little
high
time
level bipartisanship.
What was
in
I thinking?
Five different working groups over the last 48 hours, where members who were participating were reaching agreement. And then all of a sudden, the Democratic leader and the Speaker of the House shows up. And we're back to square one.
All right, we're back. That Mitch McConnell, who was uncharacteristically a little hot last night after this, and I can't say that I blame him one bit, because he, like me and so many others, feel for people out there that have an enormous amount of uncertainty, enormous amount of disruption to their lives because of government saying, you must, you can't, shut that down. So this is perfectly appropriate. Crafted a pretty good plan, member to member, and all of a sudden, there it goes away. It just is amazing. Now, what I would encourage you to do, if you can, is find a business that you can help. You know, Blackbird Pizza downtown Fargo's doing this really cool thing where they're doing pizza kits to go. They're like two things, and they do the dough, they do all the toppings, they just put them in a pizza box, you take them home. We did it last week. It's fantastic. A lot of great ideas I'd like there. You know what, my buddy Mike Lindell, MyPillow, you know, the demand is down for MyPillows right now, like it is for everything. He's keeping his staff there. He's just keeping them there. Let's just do what we got to do. So I want to reward that. I want to order up a MyPillow pet bed, for instance, or a MyPillow travel pillow, or the new set of towels, or the MyPillow sheets. And it's all incredibly, incredibly discounted right now. If you go to MyPillow.com, radio listener specials, get Mike's book. You need a book to read this time. You know, get a little extra time on your hands. He's got a great new book. Great new book. What are the odds? From crack addict to CEO, his whole life story. 800-506-9028 or MyPillow.com, promo code Scott. Please do that today. Senator John Hoeven is here to tell us about a wild weekend in the U.S. Senate. Are you as frustrated as Senator McConnell, John?
Yeah, I am. You know, we got to get this done. And, Scott, sorry I missed that earlier timeline. Apologize for that. I know it's supposed to be on here about 10 minutes ago, but... do apologize for that and appreciate you accommodating me and greetings to your listeners. Yeah, you know, we've been working all weekend and we've been working in groups, you know, small business. I've been working on the ag stuff. Other people have been working on other stuff. And we really thought, you know, last night at 6 o'clock, matter of fact, I was presiding, on the Senate and look forward to getting that vote, getting the bill passed and then, you know, finishing up this morning with final vote. So I was certainly surprised and disappointed, but we got to get this done.
So my understanding, these five working groups he's talking about, it was unusual in that the negotiating was member to member rather than a whole lot of staff involved and then bring it to the member or whatever just because of the limited amount of people there. And that the end game product was pretty darn good, especially this this effort where, you know, businesses can go to their banker and say, okay, here's my payroll, let's shore up, then you connect worker to work for. I mean, real like it. Now I see they're demagoguing that. They're saying, well, it's just a giveaway to Bush, to Trump's buddies, and there's no strings and everything else. So they obviously don't like that component. I thought that was the best component of the bill. How about you?
Well, there's two aspects. First, there's the small business fund. And that's one where you go into your bank and then you get an SBA guarantee on an expedited basis. You and I talked about that last week. And then for the qualified expenses, like keeping your employees on the payroll, then that's actually forgiven or granted to you, and then you pay back the non-qualifying costs. So I think it really keeps employees attached to their businesses. It keeps businesses ready to go and start up if they're shut down, you know, right away as soon as we can, as we get on top of the virus. So I think that's an excellent program. The Democrats are carping about the larger business program, which is just loans. It's through the Federal Reserve Treasury and then loan guarantees and so forth. But there's no forgiveness there. It's just loans for, you know, to keep businesses going. And of course, that's about keeping people employed. They're objecting to that, but they were in that negotiation with that task force. They want some other things. You know, I'm working on an ag piece to make sure there's money there to help our farmers and our ranchers, like we talked about. Any number of these things, which they haven't agreed to, and I just, you know, they're saying they want various other things. But, you know, this, it's up to $1.8 trillion, and, you know, they keep asking for other things, and it's time to get this done.
It's up to how much did you say?
$1.8 trillion.
Right, and so I understand this. So
it includes block grants for the states, $10 billion. It includes $75 billion for hospitals. It includes more money for the unemployment insurance fund. So I mean, all things that they've asked for that we've included.
And again, the negotiation is this is a priority for me, and this is a priority for you. And okay, we agree. That's all done. The leader talked about Nancy Pelosi coming in, and then it all changed.
Yeah.
Do you think this is that I fundamentally disagree, and I wish you hadn't negotiated that in, or do you think that is, look, this is an easy one for us to play politics on? We'll say, you know, all he's doing is taking care of big businesses, and we'll delay this a little while. Is it sincere?
Well, it is concerning that we thought we had agreement. We were ready to go. We had the vote scheduled. Speaker Pelosi came in, and so now, you know, and then they voted no. So, you know, obviously that's a concern, and we're going to have to see. We now are trying to get agreement from them, but we've scheduled a vote at noon our time, 11 your time. And I hope they get on board. It's time to get this done.
The other thing I think people should know is the vote last night was for a vote to say, let's actually go to negotiate. There'd still be another 30 hours to negotiate. So they weren't even willing to say, you know, let's go to the next round of negotiations. To me, they're trying to delay this as long as possible rather than sincerely work out differences.
Right. Last night was a preliminary vote called a cloture vote, which still gives you 30 hours of debate and or negotiation and so forth. So, again, yes, the final vote was always going to be this morning.
But you believe that small businesses, 500 employees and less, and this mechanism to be able to go to your banker and work that out, to get rid of the red tape, you don't have to send employees to, you know, unemployment insurance, you don't have to worry about SBA loans, you go to your banker and they're able to facilitate that quickly. You're saying that you believe is not the object of gamesmanship at this hour, that it's rather the loans to airlines and big businesses?
Yeah, right. And the key there that it's important to understand is if those businesses go out of business, you got a lot of people that are out of a job, and that there's no forgiveness. These are just loans. The companies have to pay them back. The small business, like we talked about, there's a grant component to it.
So let's talk a little bit about doing what you're doing here without five senators who have put themselves in isolation because of coronavirus exposure or actually having it, like in the case of Rand Paul. You know, how do you do that? 60 votes is what you need, and you got five people in isolation. So, I mean, that really puts you out of the game in a big way. Can they vote by telephone? Can some rules be made? No possibility of a temporary change because of the emergency or anything, huh?
No, I mean, no. You know, you have to vote in person, and you know, obviously we try to do that in a way where you have social distancing and all that, but we have to move forward without them. But again, at the end of the day, you know, we were going to need Democrats anyway. So they need to get on board with us now. We have accommodated many, many things they've asked for. Now it's time to get it done.
If you're able to get this done, even with Pelosi and Schumer's 11th hour games here, how do you believe this plays out once the crisis is done? Once you see the numbers go down and the social distancing ease and the health concern is resolved, what does the economy look like in August, September, October, do you believe?
I hope we're doing the things that help bring it back in a timely way. So first order of business is get on top of the coronavirus. And we also, as we move forward here, Scott, we've got to figure out a way how we get people back to work. In other words, protect the vulnerable population, have good social distancing, maybe special precautions in hotspot areas. But we've got to find out how we start getting people back to work. And so we, you know, get things going again, and then hopefully we're providing the right kind of support for the economy, again on a temporary basis like we've talked about, so that we bridge this gap, and then we get our great country back to operating the way it does, which is free enterprise, and that's what we've got to get back to.
Marco Rubio was talking earlier about a provision in which, you know, business goes to the banker and is able to access 250% of his payroll. Is that the
correct
small business function one, or is that the big business one?
No, that's the small business. So up to $350 billion for small businesses. The way they'll, and that's, you know, businesses with 500 or less employees. That's the definition. That employer goes into the bank and borrows up to 250% of payroll to keep that business going. Now, for qualified expenses like paying employees that they keep on the payroll through this time, even when they're shut down, and for interest on their mortgage, for rent, and for certain other qualified expenses, those will be forgiven, so they don't need to be paid back. Other non-qualified expenses would be paid back on a long-term loan at a low rate of interest. And the whole point of this is to not only keep those small businesses going so they don't go out of business, but also to keep their employees attached to the small business while it's shut down, both for the benefit of those employees, but also so that business can start up right away as soon as, you know, these businesses aren't shut down to coronavirus.
Is that the one where they're talking about an interest rate of 3.75%, which just seems, strikes people as odd on the SBA side and others when you've got a, you know, you've got a, you know, the Federal Reserve, obviously, bank to bank, the rate is zero.
Yeah, I agree. That, to me, I think the rate should be lower, and I've mentioned that. I don't know if we can get that rate down. I agree it should be lower.
That's just what the state.
You know, if you look at the grant aspect with that rate, obviously it comes out to probably even a negative rate, but, I mean, it would, obviously. But even still, I thought that rate could be lower.
About a minute left. You know, and what's your gut tell you? You think that they add a provision here, a provision there? What worries me a little bit, the Mnuchin and Schumer are meeting mano a mano.
I got to tell you, I'm hopeful, but I thought, you know, they keep negotiating, and, you know, you've got all these things in there. I thought, you know, we finally said, hey, it's time to vote. So I thought last night we were going to have, even on the ag stuff, you know, that I've been working so hard on, you know, they keep pushing back, saying, no, you know, we got to have this, and we're not going to agree to that. So, you know, I hope so, but I won't know until we have the vote.
Do you have a few extra minutes to stay with us through the break, or are you,
sure,
run off and, okay, so we're gonna, Corey, let's go to you first here. We'll get your question in and we'll get the answer on the other side of the break for Senator Hogan. Go ahead, Corey.
Yeah, see, I've got a question about that stimulus check that's supposed to come to everybody.
Yeah, sure.
They're basing that on the 2018 tax return. What if you didn't have a tax return because you didn't work?
Well, I think we've made arrangements now so that that's covered as well. I'd have to check on the specifics, which I can do and get back to Scott, but I know that that was an issue. But between unemployment compensation and then I thought that very issue came up and we've made an accommodation there. Let me check for sure.
All right, Corey, stay tuned. And Brian and Kindred, next for Senator John
Hill. We're Tioga Chamber of Commerce, and we want you to consider Tioga, North Dakota, for your business or a place to raise your family and realize your career dreams. Tioga's average yearly household income of over $73,000 a year supports nearly 140 area businesses. Tioga is a driver and innovator in local education with technologies like drones, 3D printers, electronics, and coding opportunities to prepare students for success well into the 21st century. Tioga is an active community that offers great activities for families like Freedom Fest, Drone Camp for Kids, Robot Camp for Kids, Farm Festival, and Pumpkin Festival. Tioga Chamber of Commerce is proud to sponsor programming on AM 1090 KTGO and AM 550 KFYR. We want you to consider Tioga, North Dakota for your business or a place to raise your family and realize your career dreams. If you're looking for great opportunities, please visit us in Tioga and experience a great point of view. Or for more information, visit TiogaND.org.
Ethanol brings energy and agriculture together. We're chatting with Brian Markegaard today, process engineer for Dakota Spirit, part of the Midwest Ag Energy family in Spiritwood. What if ethanol went away? What would that mean for corn farmers? What does that mean for North Dakota?
There's about 40 employees here at the plant, right around 40. So those jobs would be gone. They're very good paying jobs. So those positions would be gone from the community, which we saw with Cargill moving out, the number of jobs that left the community. And then just from the ability to process that corn right here makes a big impact, again, with the farm community, which in this part of the world supports the local community through buying equipment and all the other things that farmers are spending money on as well. And then the trickle effect of all that money in the community is huge.
Ethanol and agriculture are one, and building better communities. Find out more at ndethanol.org.
We all have heard about the benefits of fish oils, but what about the presence of heavy metals, PCBs, dioxins, furans, and other contaminants found in fatty tissues of fish? GCNteam.com recognizes this risk and offers IFOS certified tested omega-3 fatty acids. EPA, DHA insist on IFOS omega-3 fatty acid certification. Get the best at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203.
Let me ask you something. What are you doing when you put money in a 401k or IRA, or store jumper cables in your vehicle, or purchase health insurance? You're preparing. You're preparing to ensure you have enough money for retirement. You're preparing for when your car battery dies, or to have assistance paying a major unexpected medical bill. That all makes sense. The same goes for building a food storage plan. You're preparing for when emergencies or disasters strike and shelves go empty at your grocery store. The best way to prepare is with My Patriot Supply. They've helped a million hardworking Americans become more self-sufficient. My Patriot Supply sells hundreds of items, including dozens of emergency food kits, at MyPatriotSupply.com. It could be an earthquake, a cyber attack freezing our banking system, or a disaster that shuts down our power grid for weeks. For all these emergencies and more, get your supplies and prepare today at MyPatriotSupply.com. No more rushing to find empty store shelves because you're too late. Do it now so you're ready. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Now, there is Reveal. Beverly Hills celebrity dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman took nearly a decade to develop Reveal from natural botanicals to return to a full body head of hair. Reveal for men and women with a 30-day money-back guarantee at GCNLife.com or toll free 844-443-6637. 844-443-6637. Reveal at GCNLife.com.
At the top of the hour, remember, 24/7, we have the Oasis Petroleum Feed the Buffalo Hotline, your chance to weigh in on anything you'd like, and also celebrate folks that have that Be the Buffalo spirit that is so prevalent in North Dakota, just like they have at Oasis Petroleum. Into the storm. We're into the storm now. We're just like the buffalo. Go right into the storm. Got to do it. Got to take on. There's no running from this one. 855-200-1776, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Brian and Kindred for Senator John Hovind. Go ahead, Brian. Brian, are you there? Hang on a second. If Brian is there, I'm not hearing him. Brian, can you hear me? I'm going to try again here. Brian, can you hear me? Why don't you work on that one, Daniel? I'm going to go to Bill and Stanley. Go ahead, Bill, for Senator John Hoeven. You're up next.
Hey, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I just want to know when they're going to cut off Saudi Arabia and Russia and stabilize this oil market and cut them off for their bad trade.
Right on, Bill. I mean, absolutely with you on that one. We're really trying. You know, I talked to the president on that directly. We also contacted the ambassador for Saudi Arabia, Princess Rima, and said, you know, and this was a group of us, myself, Dan Sullivan from Alaska, Kevin Kramer, you know, a bunch of us, James Langford, a bunch of us that work, Ted Cruz. And we said, look, you know, we have supported Saudi. We have troops over there. You know, if you don't knock off this price war, we are going to continue to find ways to take action that get you to do it. So I'm frustrated we haven't got it done already. We're not going to stop until we get them to stop the price war. The president did agree to buy oil from the Strategic Petroleum Reserve, 77 million barrels. He started that with the first 30 million barrel purchase. I know that, I mean, that helps some, but we've got to get him to knock off this price war. We also have this effort now. It's called an anti-dumping trade action that we're trying to work through Commerce. But we're not going to stop. I mean, I'm disappointed we haven't been able to get it done already. We got to keep going until we do.
Yeah, either that or pull the missile batteries out and see how they like that.
Well, we have given Saudi Arabia support. They're an ally. For them to have this price war now, it's just completely unreasonable, and we cannot stop until we get them to stop.
Appreciate the call, Bill, and share the sentiment 100%. Thank you, sir. Hang in there. Brian and Kindred for Senator Hoeven. Go ahead.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Thanks for taking my call, Senator. Say, I am a small business owner. I am a truck driver. I deliver building materials for the local stores in and around the Fargo area. I am an owner operator of my truck, and I know there are tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, of owner operators, different trucks, you know, around the country and stuff doing things. Now, I have to pay into unemployment insurance, but I've been told I could not lay myself off and collect unemployment insurance. I have to pay into workers' comp, but I was told that even if I get hurt, since I'm the owner-operator, I cannot collect workers' comp. Am I going to be able to, and right now I am so stinking slow, I am burning through my savings. This whole winter has just been horrible, and with what's going on now, I'm burning through my savings at an incredible rate. Am I going to be able to get any of this money that is being offered to the small businesses or the $1,000 one-time check that they're offering?
Yeah, I think both. I think, first off, you know, the checks are income qualified, so they're 1,200 individual, 2,400 family, 500 per child. The income limits are up to 75,000 for an individual, 150,000 on a family. Is when they start phasing out. So if you earn 100,000 or more, that's when you're not eligible for the additional payment, or for a family, you know, it'd be like above 200,000. So if you're below that income limit, yes, you'd still get the checks. And then as far as your business, yes, I believe if you go into your bank and apply for the loan that I discussed, your qualifying expenses, which, you know, you are part of the payroll, and then you have your other costs to keep your business going that are going to be qualified expenses. And so, if I were you, I would definitely go into your bank, and because I think under this small business loan, you would qualify for it. And then, you know, for the qualified expenses, those, in essence, are grants.
Hey, Brian, I'd call Nancy Pelosi's office, Chuck Schumer's office, too, and tell them to get on with it so you can get that a little, a certainty going forward here, because you're not alone. A couple of the quick ones here. By text, a lot of these employees are part-time. Can they draw unemployment?
Yeah, I mean, anyone that qualifies for unemployment will continue to qualify, and we're providing like $250 billion to the states for them to add to their unemployment insurance funds because of the tremendous number of people going on there, and also to lengthen the time that somebody would qualify for unemployment insurance. So whatever their qualifications are, and that does vary a little bit by state, so they need to check with North Dakota unemployment insurance.
Texter says, ask the senator if they would ask big companies to pay sooner than net 45 or 60. Tons of small businesses could use that money to make payroll. Simple request. And you hear that a lot. You know, the bigger the company,
well,
the more
they
pay.
Think about that now, Scott. Think about that. Exactly. So, again, making sure that loans are available to these companies so they can do that is going to be important, right? And remember, we don't want any forgiveness of those loans for the big companies, but they need that liquidity so they can pay faster and so forth. And
yep,
there's an example where it would help a small business.
And hopefully with that help, maybe they do it a little quicker just to help everybody. Senator, thanks so much. John Hovind with us.
Our region has a deep tradition of supporting conservation, where we're taught to leave a place better off than we found it. We know that our land, our air, and our water are precious resources, which is why the coal industry has been nationally recognized for preserving, protecting, and enhancing our land by reclaiming more than 20,000 acres once mining is finished. That land is used to hunt, fish, and feed the world. That same resourcefulness that's used to reclaim land is now being put to use to capture non-toxic emissions, including carbon dioxide from power plants. Researchers at the University of North Dakota are working to explore geology to store the carbon dioxide safely deep underground, where it will stay permanently. This next-generation technology will not only enhance our nation-leading clean air standards, but protect 15,000 good-paying jobs by using homegrown energy resources. Learn more at www.secureenergyfuture.org/CCUS.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. It's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
This is Fred.
Hi, I'm Fred.
Fred's a repeater.
I tend to repeat.
Fred has a business.
I do have a business.
And a problem. Fred repeats the same tired advertising over and over, and now it doesn't work.
Over and over.
But Fred is about to see a vision.
I'm seeing a vision.
Advertising on the Genesis Communications Network is the smart way for Fred to reach his potential customers with the most affordable national advertising rates, period. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just email advertise@gcnlive.com.
Attention, fellow Americans. We are now at an all-time high risk of illnesses due to pathogens and viruses. So it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. Do it with new nanocolloidal silver from Americare. Using a patented process with tiny silver particles 1/100th the size of a red blood cell that allows for maximum absorption, Americare's nanocolloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it inhibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever at around $1 a day. But supplies are limited. Purchase nanocolloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.